This is Electric Sisterhood, my top five things I saw at PAX Expo. Alright, this is Electric Sisterhood, the home of the best girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister, and I'm by myself because I'm out at PAX, and this episode is called PAXalicious. It's day 3 at PAX. I'm tired as hell. I've been running around with the All Games Radio Network fam. We've been broadcasting live, so if you've been listening to All Games Radio streaming live the PAX coverage, you've probably caught me on a couple of the shows, as well as some of the hosts from Dead Pixel Live, Super Happy Fun Time Show. Bobby Blackwolf was there doing an excellent job hosting things down. But this is my show. This is kind of my take. This is where I get to spend the most of my time being me. So sit back and relax. You can catch this show airing on the All Games Radio Network Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can catch our show through any RSS reader using our feed or going through the iTunes store and looking for Electric Sisterhood. With that said, obviously, I don't have any candy bitches because I've been giving candy out to people on the floor. So I'm going to jump right into it and talk about my top five things I've seen at PAX. So to get started, I want to talk a little bit about PAX just in case, you know, you're one of the few people that have no idea actually what PAX is. So PAX is the game expo that the fine folks at Penny Arcade, Gabe and Tycho, I heart you, I really do, have actually started and been running for quite some time to basically let gamers get in on all the funds of going to game trade shows. As you all know, it was crazy difficult for us to get into E3 this year, so that was kind of a place that we got excluded from. Well, there's no exclusion at PAX. All are welcome. It's open to the public and to the press, so that everybody gets treated the same way. Just because you have a press badge doesn't mean you get to cut in any lines at all, which is a good thing. Everybody gets treated the same way, so everyone gets the same amount of hands-on time and walkthroughs of stuff if they want it. There's plenty of little giveaways for everyone, so there are pins and t-shirts and posters and buttons, and if you're really good at games, you can even get some really cool swag. I wasn't able to score anything because I don't PC game, so bogus on not being able to score one of the Champions Online skateboards and backpack packs, but, you know, you do what you can, you do what you can. So I have a couple of things that I'm coming back with, and, you know, we might give away some of them on the website, or just kind of send them out to random people, or just keep them for ourselves. Really haven't made up my mind yet. Although Pandalicious has already called dibs on the Salamander from Twin Skies, so I don't think anybody's going to get a hold of that. The Arcade is held in Seattle, Washington. I'm actually at the Washington Convention Center right now recording this episode of the podcast in a very nice little conference room with a big old Rock Band 2 party going on behind me. So if you hear any of the music coming or clapping, I wish I could say it was for me, but it's actually for the people downstairs singing their little hearts out. Rock. The great thing about Penny Arcade is that it's really designed, like I said, around the gaming community. So there are a lot of free playrooms where you can just go in and sit down and play with people, get to meet other gamers on all different kinds of games. Every console's here and represented, as well as PC gaming. There are LAN parties here. There's trading card game parties going on. So everybody has a place, and a space, and we're all nearby, which works out really great because I've met some wonderful people, and not just people in the industry, which is really cool. There are panels going on, including some topics like how to get your blog noticed, you know, how to break into the industry. There's one on sex, violence, and video games and where that's all going. And, you know, just like any trade show, a keynote that Ken Levine actually spoke at, which was really cool. I've been having a blast. I'm exhausted. I have walked up and down just about every exhibit hall here at the Penny Arcade Expo. And I got to tell you, for somebody who's short, even though I'm a ninja, it's a lot of walking, people. Like, it's a crazy amount of walking. But I've had some film. Like I said, I'm here with the All Games Radio fam, so I've been able to meet up with them and share a lot of insights and stories and things like that. I also got a chance to actually sit in with the Platform Nation crew and run around with them a little bit, so got to expand my circle of networking, which is always good. It's not always what you know. Sometimes it is, in fact, who you know. Got to meet up with some awesome people, which I'll talk about a little bit here as I start breaking into the top five things I saw at PAX. So, to kick it off, number five, because we count from five to one, Nero from Destructoid.com. Now, as many of you know, I have been playing email tag with Nero from Destructoid.com for about 2 years now. Like, shortly after we started the website and I was on my quest to get to E3, I figured there was nobody better than the guy that started out his site as a means solely to get into E3. And Nero was great, sent me back some great advice things of what we could do and how we could grow, and was really a catalyst for a lot of the redesigns of the websites that have happened over the past couple of months. So I figured, okay, I owe this guy a drink. And thus, the email tag began. For 2 years, it's been a, are you going to be at this event? No, I'm going to this event. Are you going to be at this event? No, I am broke and can't afford to go to that event. And so it's been back and forth and things. This year, E3 was going to be our meetup, but then I couldn't get my little behind in the door because nobody would give me the time of day. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Gamerscore blog. So this was it. I happened to just, you know, out of habit, once I knew I was going to PAX, shoot off an email and say, hey, I'm going to PAX. Are you going to be there? And I get an email back that says, yes, we need to meet up. Oh, my God. We've only been trying to do this for like 2 years. And it's true. So finally, after many, many a text message back and forth and email, we were able to, one night, both be in the same place at the same time. So it worked out great. We met up for drinks. I didn't actually get to buy Nero the drink that I owe him, so I still owe him a drink. Because there are pretty much a whole bunch of other people there buying him drinks. And you should only be drinking if you're 21 people, which everybody in the joint was. Except for a couple of people that wanted to come in outside that weren't, which caused a little drama, but that's okay. That's all right. What's a trade show without a little drama? But we were able to catch up a little bit and run around, caught up at one of the concerts as well. And it was really nice to be able to sit down and talk with someone about the industry that was now in the industry and pretty much where, you know, ESH wants to be and then kind of, you know, crush, but only in a good and lighthearted and loving way. It was really nice. And just in case anybody wants to know, Nero gives amazing hugs. Yeah. That right there was worth it. Like the 2 years, of just that hug and then the other hug, totally flipping worth it. So yeah, number five thing that I saw at PAX, Nero from Destructoid.com. He's hot. Especially with the helmet on. Yeah, that's how I like it. All right, moving on. Number four, gonna have to be Gears of War 2. Now, I know what you're saying, Ninja, you pretty much swore off of Gears of War, and you said you weren't gonna touch it, and that's true. I did, and I changed my mind. I'm a girl. I get to do that. I was able to sit in first on a demo of Gears of War 2 at the Microsoft booth, which looked amazing. The graphics are definitely fine-tuned a little bit. The sound was amazing. The explosions look great. It seemed like, you know, weapon switching was just, you know, a thing of ease, which for me is a big deal. So that was cool. The demo lasted about, I'd probably say about 8 minutes with one guy playing it and it being displayed on two LCD screens, and then another guy actually walking through the demo. The first time that I watched the demo, the guy was able to make it all the way through the demo without a problem. The second time I watched it, however, a couple of hours later, because I just really needed to sit down, I told you the convention hall is humongous, people. He failed out twice, which was kind of funny. So it's interesting to me to see that, you know, even though it's a demo that's been practiced over and over again, there are still some, you know, ghosts in the machine, some things that are randomized in a way that, you know, sometimes you get thrown a monkey wrench. And it's really cool to see that even somebody that's practiced and practiced and practiced can even get their ass handed to them a couple of times when, you know, on the spot. So that was really neat. But after the second demo, I decided that I really needed to be hands-on with the game before I passed my final judgment on it. So I was able to, after standing in line for a good 45 minutes, able to get my hands on the demo, and a couple of guys as I was walking up to the podium snickered, but quickly they were silenced. The demo stations had the ability to do multiplayer as well as single player modes, so I actually did a single player. I'm not real big on multiplayer on a grand scale with, you know, everybody in the world watching you when they already have their assumptions of what a girl gamer can actually bring to the table. So I played the single player mode, ran through it. The controls were much, much easier for me to deal with. I felt like I was really able to control Marcus Fenix the way that I really wanted to get him to move and be as responsive exactly when I wanted him to be responsive, which was something I didn't really feel in the first game. I had a lot of difficulty with, you know, getting my people exactly where I wanted them, and not ducking behind things and poking out from the wrong direction. So, I'd kind of written Gears off, after being all haloed and Crackdown out. Like, I love Crackdown when I just need a mindless game and want to kind of go in and blow some shit up. And so, when I heard that there was another Gears, I thought, okay, you know, this is something I'm not really going to need because I still have Halo, I still have Crackdown. If I feel the need to shoot things, I can shoot and blow up stuff. But I'm really reconsidering my thoughts on that just because of how much I enjoy the single-player campaign with Gears of War 2. Marcus also seems a little more badass somehow. I'm not exactly sure how that came to be, but he definitely seems more harsh with his verbiage, more gruff, he seems bulkier, and just, you know, more badass, like more, you know, weather hardened, and, you know, there's something that's very attractive about that to me in, you know, my reluctant hero. I don't want him to be, you know, cookie cutter clean, and at the same time, you know, I don't need him to be all scarred up and, you know, battered, but he definitely seems weather-ridden in this game, and, you know, at one point through the demo, like, things were going on, and he was in a building that ended up being collapsed, and at one point, it was like, son of a bitch, and I just thought, you know, I love hearing that out of a character, because when something like that happens, if I'm watching the game, that's what I'd say, or, well, actually, If I'm to be honest, I would probably say something like, you dirty motherfucker. But that's how I talk to my games when something bad goes on or something that I don't like happens. And it's just really nice for me to have that realistically happen with a character that I'm playing. If you don't know, Gears of War is a third-person shooter, which I prefer. I'm not really good with first-person shooters. I've said it before. I have no problem saying with that. I'm not perfect, and FPSs is pretty much where my weakness is. But I can handle third-person. I can handle third-person very well. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. It's bad when I have to make my own jokes and there's nobody there to be like, oh my god, I can't believe you just said that. But I am really excited to get my hands on Gears of War 2 now. And I didn't feel that way before. I probably would have felt this way if I got invited to E3 and was actually able to touch it there. But since this is really my first hands-on with Gears 2, I can now honestly say I'm probably going to rent it, if not buy it, just so that I can have it on hand when I'm ready to go. And that's a big deal for me, because I didn't think that that was going to happen. Look for Gears of War 2 in November. So right before the holiday time, people, you'll be able to pick it up, put it in your stocking, put it in your boyfriend's bag or your own, you know, and be able to have a rocking good time blowing shit up. It's the American way. All right, so we've talked about my top number 5 and my top number 4 thing at PAX. Let's talk about my top number 3. It's not a game. Well, I guess it could be a game, but it's not actually a video game. Cosplayers. I was really, really surprised at the amount of people that cosplayed at this convention. Like I said, this is day 3 for me, so it's the final day, and I really didn't expect to see anybody sitting in costumes today, but I was actually kind of surprised. All 3 days were really well attended. They imagine that this is the highest attendance for a PAX convention ever. They're imagining the total 3-day thing is going to be well over 55,000, which is amazing to pull off. For, you know, really, for that amount of traffic, a small convention center. But there were a crazy amount of cosplayers. Some of them needed to spend a little more time on their costumes. It happens, you know, you decide last minute that you're actually going to attend a conference, and now it's, oh my god, who can I dress up as? But there were a lot of people that obviously put time and effort into their costumes, and it was a wide variety of costumes that were here, and that's what I loved. I actually snapped a couple of photos that I put up, or will be putting up in a gallery by the time you hear this, of a set of cosplayers that I saw that actually came as Dante and Nero from the Devil May Cry series, and they had fantastic costumes. The swords looked great on both of them, but I really liked the attention to detail on Nero's costume. The girl that was actually dressed up as Nero had the glove, had the devil hand, and it looked great. I mean, it was see-through-y, opaque-y, probably milk jug, clear-ish plastic, so it looked just like the figure, the character in the game, and had even put some, I think, blue eyeshadow on the edges to make it kind of look that ethereal glowing thing. So, I mean, it was really a lot of detail, and I thanked them for their time and their pictures because it was amazing. I've seen more Lynx, Zeldas, Princess Peaches, both of the male and female variety, as well as druids, night elves. I've seen generic superheroes. I've seen Yuffies, no Sephiroths, and I was kind of surprised by that. I really expected to see a few Sephies. I mean, especially with, you know, the new Final Fantasy game eventually at some point in time about to launch, maybe ish. But not a single Sephiroth. Marios and Luigis, a couple of Warios and things like that. But what really surprised me when it came to cosplayers was how many Heath Ledger Jokers that I actually saw at the convention. Which, there's no Batman the movie game actually showing here at this convention. The only Batman game that's at the con right now is the Lego Batman game, which actually plays really well. I did get some time to spend with it over at the Microsoft booth. The surprise was that I saw easily 15 of those Heath Ledger Jokers on Friday alone. All of them looked a little bit different. All of them had the makeup right. One kid really went out there, and I wish that my camera had been charged at the time, because, I mean, he had his hair the right length, and with a little bit of the green color, the jacket matched almost exactly to the one in the movie, which I'm very, very familiar with, because I saw it in IMAX twice, three times, maybe five, I don't know, or just don't want to admit to. But a couple of them actually had their girlfriends with them as Harley Quinns, which I also thought was really interesting, because Harley wasn't in the movie at all. But if you're familiar with any of the comics or the series, the animated series that were on TV, Harley Quinn was the Joker's girlfriend, kind of, sort of. It was a passive-aggressive, abusive relationship, but it worked for both of them, so whatever. But, and they were all different Harley Quinns. Like, there was one that was a patent leather bondage type Harley Quinn, and then there was one that I wasn't sure was a Harley Quinn. I just thought that she shopped at Hot Topic until I saw the cards that she actually embroidered into her outfit. And I went, oh, yep, Harley Quinn, gotcha, awesome. But even with all of those Jokers and then all of those Harley Quinns, the thing that was missing, or I guess I expected to see, since there were so many of them, was there was no place that was left or written or dropped on the convention why so serious or ha ha ha, or even just little cards that were the Joker cards just kind of discarded on the ground. I don't know how many of those actually could have been left, because the convention center has really been doing a great job of cleaning up the floors of anything left behind for more than 10 minutes. But there are places that you could pin stuff and put stuff. So as far as the determination of getting things right, I was also a little saddened by the fact that, you know, that one big thing that was kind of the calling card for the Joker was left out of the deal. But solid A for effort. And I was really glad to see that some people actually came dressed as characters from Gabe and Tycho's game, Penny Arcade Adventures, on episode 1 on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness, which was really cool. Mutton chops and all, so props to you for actually growing out the chops just for cosplay, okay? You get extra bonus points for actually growing body hair or taking off body hair, in my book. But there were people that were dressed not as game characters at all. There were some Star Wars and Star Trek people here. Star Trek ones I understand, because Will Wheaton's here hawking his stuff and signing shit, because that's what Will Wheaton does, because he's the man. But he was here doing his thing, so I understood the Trek ones. But they were your generic stormtroopers. Your not-so-generic stormtroopers. A red Master Chief. A blue Master Chief, a white Master Chief, you get where I'm going here, and lots of girls in cosplay as well, as some of the more strong female characters from games, which was really cool. I didn't see anyone dressed up as the chick from Beyond Good and Evil, whose name escapes me right now because my brain is fried. But I really would have liked to see that. But I did see a couple of Lara Crofts, one with a natural set of honkers and the other one with a not natural set of honkers. So I called her Angelina Jolie as Lara Croft. But it was just nice to see that the whole community was represented and representing the games that they love and really taking the time and the effort to spend to make that pretty much blatantly clear. And there's some people that just wore weird hats and some people that just wore shitload of buttons and never realized how many buttons you can actually collect at a con. It's like, yeah, go on, people, with the clapping and the noise. Buttons are awesome. Yeah, but cosplayers, number 3, awesome thing that I saw at PAX. So that brings me up to my number 2. you know, Panda has her addiction to WoW, and I have my addiction to rhythm games. So obviously, at number two, you're going to have Rock Band Guitar Hero World Tour. So let's do this comparison. Let's get this thing done and over with. I know some other people have talked about it, but, you know, we just need to knock this thing out. I'm a nut for rhythm games. And I immediately, like, as soon as they opened the door for press, ran my little ass over to the rock band stage. I told you my brain was fried, people. And jumped on guitar. I'm in love with the new guitar. I'm just going to tell you right now, I am in love with the new Rock Band guitar. I can't wait to get my hands on one of them. I am in love. It's lighter. It's more comfortable. The strum bar is better. The whammy feels better. I don't know if it is or not, but it just feels that way. And it's a sexy looking guitar. It's actually got a starburst design on the face. So, instead of just the plain strap black and white, which is nothing wrong with the plain strap black and white, but this is just a sexier guitar. Then, as soon as I finished that experience, I went over to Activision's booth and I played Guitar Hero World Tour because I felt that it was only going to be fair to really compare the two if I played them back to back. By the time I made it over to Guitar Hero World Tour, I had to wait a little bit, not long, because it was only press. Sat down and decided that I was first going to play drums and then come back around and play guitar. Only because I was really very curious about how the drum kits were going to compare. If you're not aware, the drum kit for Guitar Hero World Tour is much different than the drum kit for Rock Band. The drum kit in Guitar Hero World Tour actually has a 3 drum pad kit with kick drum and then 2 cymbals. Pretty much a hi-hat and a crash cymbal. This Ninja no likey. And here's why. Because I'm so used to the Rock Band drum kit, it took me the entire song to get used to how the Guitar Hero World Tour drum kit actually works. And I don't like it. I'm having to focus in too many places. Now, I will give them this. I only had one song to get used to the drums, and because it was a complete different layout, it was really difficult. And I guess they had figured out that that was probably going to be an issue because they had the no-fail thing on, so you couldn't fail out of a song, which was good, but not realistic. Even on Easy, which is what I put it on because I knew I was going to be learning a new drum kit, it still really didn't help much, and I nearly failed out. I didn't thank the Lord, but it was really too close for me to be comfortable with. I'm sure after time, and if you'd never played a drum kit to either of these games, it might be easier to pick up. But if you've already been using a Rock Band kit, it's really going to take a mind shift for you. You're not going to be able to jump back and forwards comfortably the drum sets between the two games. So you won't have a Rock Band Guitar Hero night where one song you play this one and switch over using a KVM switch, and the next one you play on this set and on the completely different drum kit and be able just to pick up and fly. If you can, you're a mutant and I hate you. But got through my song, and the group that I was playing with was really good, and we high-fived and, you know, did the whole rock star throwing up the bones and licking, you know, because you got to make it do what it do. But it was still a little dodgy for me. I went back around a second time, this time to play guitar, and I don't like the new guitar. And the reason why I don't like the new guitar, even though it's still a Les Paul, so it's shorter, so it's a little bit easier for me to deal with, I can't quite right now get the hang of the slide piece. So on the new Guitar Hero guitar, you actually have fret buttons, and then you have a touch-sensitive slide area. And what happens is, coming down the highway, you have series of notes that are stringed together. Literally, there's a string that goes through each series of notes. And when you hit those, what you're supposed to do is ride the string, and as you get to the notes on the string, slide your finger across the same color frets, I should say touch-sensitive area, on the guitar. And this takes a while to get used to. I never use the smaller frets when doing solos in Rock Band because it's very difficult for me to find my place again when I hop back from the short area to the long area. And I don't know if it's just because my arms are short, because yes, as Pandalicious likes to remind you and me all the time, I am a short person. But I just found it a little cumbersome and an addition that really wasn't necessary for the game to be good. I didn't feel like, okay, this is the piece that was missing from the game that now makes it rock. Like, I had no problem using the short fret buttons in Rock Band if all I used was a short fret button. So when it came to a solo piece, I wouldn't have to strum. I could just, you know, tap my buttons. So I don't feel that this is necessarily the best inclusion on the guitar. I could be wrong. When the game ships and I get used to playing maybe four or five different songs, I might decide that it's the best thing on the planet. But quick one-hit, you know, introduction to it, quick knee-jerk reaction tells me that I'm not going to like it and that I don't think that it will add a lot to the game. Now, I didn't try to hit the fret buttons when those series of notes came up, but that's something that I'm definitely going to recommend or try when the demo becomes available for the game. So I talked about the drums. I talked about the guitar. Let me talk about the setups. The setups here on the floor for Rock Band and for Guitar Hero were really quite different. Both of them had a main stage area. So you could basically get up in front of everybody on the floor and show them what you were working with. Sing, drum, bass, guitar, and have the whole rock stage feel. There were lights, key lights on you. There wasn't any smoke. I was really kind of, you know, disheartened that that didn't happen. But you basically had your own little stage and were a rock star, and it was set up, and, you know, they had images of, you know, fake drums in front of the drum kit and other guitars off stage. So, like, if your guitar broke or string or something, you could get another guitar and have the whole rock star thing going on. So they both were set up really great. The difference being, for Rock Band, the stage was the only playable setup that you had for it. Whereas at the Guitar Hero booth, they had one main stage and then behind it, three stations where you could group together and then play through the game. So they really were focusing on getting as most people through as possible playing the game. And I don't know if that's because they want to pick up some ground or not, but it definitely made a difference because there was no way you were going to be able to just come into the convention after 12 o'clock on Friday and just play Rock Band 2. You got to wait, dude. You got a long wait. You want to play Guitar Hero World Tour? Yeah, you got to wait too. Just not as long. Probably about like 5-10 minutes. Especially today. Saturday was a hard day for both games, and it caused a lot of congestion, but both games are pretty much at polar opposites of the floor, so it wasn't a huge, huge hurt. If I have to pick between the two of them, you probably already guessed that I'm giving the edge to Rock Band. Mostly because, you know, it's like being with an old girlfriend. You know exactly what you're getting into. Things are a little bit improved now that, you know, you've spent some time apart. So some things look better than you remember. And I'm going to be able to play all my downloadable content. I mean, as you can hear right now, people are going nuts for the Rock Band going on downstairs. And that's, dig it. Just a bunch of random people coming together playing a video game. Since I'm going to be able to have all of my downloaded content that I already got for Rock Band 1 playable in Rock Band 2, plus all of the new stuff, I'm happy. I just think that it's really going to be the most unintimidating, or I should say least intimidating, rhythm sim game. And if I decide that I want to pick up Guitar Hero World Tour, the peripherals that I already have for Rock Band will work with it. I got a chance to sit down with one of the developers, and the way that the drum piece works, because that's what I was mainly concerned with, because there is that extra cymbal on the Guitar Hero World Tour kit that doesn't exist on the Rock Band kit. When the system detects another drum kit, including the Rock Band one, it detects how many drum pads that it has, and if it has any less than what the Guitar Hero World Tour one has, it just doesn't make that note appear on the highway and shortens the highway. So instead of having a 5-note highway, you'll have a 4-note highway in Guitar Hero. So I will probably buy Guitar Hero World Tour, but I will probably just buy the software and use my existing Rock Band kit to play it. And then when I want to get down and dirty, get on the Rock Band 2 and make it do what it do. So that's my number 2, which brings me to my number 1. We're almost done, people. The number 1 thing that I saw at the Penny Arcade Expo? Women. Girls. Females. The ladies are in the house, gentlemen. And we rock the game world. As a gamer, it was so great to see so many women and young girls at this convention. The ratio was still predominantly dude, which is fine. I mean, we know we're the smaller piece of the community, but a piece of the community nonetheless. But the entire audience was at least 30 to 35% female. And that was so cool to see. Like, steady chick gamers, solid across all platforms. Card games, trading games, hardcore games, FPSs, you name it. There was at least, any time I was walking past a booth, one chick playing every game that was at that booth. There were some people here that were couples, and you could definitely tell that there were some boyfriends explaining games to their girlfriends, but they seemed genuinely interested in what the conversation was about. I didn't really see anybody here that looked like they'd rather be someplace else, which is really cool to see. But even better, that there were a lot of girls that were, you know, explaining games and pulling their boyfriends or husbands around to stations to check stuff out, like Resistance and Legendary, which I was like, kick ass. I can't tell you how cool it is for me to be at this point in my life as a gamer and come to a convention like this and be standing in line and there be 5 other girls ahead of me waiting to play like a racing game or waiting to play something like Gears of War. And not Cooking Mama, which I'm not knocking Cooking Mama or, you know, games like that, but it's just so nice to see gamers that just happen to be chicks waiting in line for the same shit and having the same opinions as every other gamer on the floor, or some differing opinions than every other gamer on the floor, but for it to be an honest and valid opinion coming after gameplay and research. Probably the best story that I have was I was riding on an escalator because there are 4 floors in the convention center. And I just happened to, you know, be listening to the conversation behind me because it's kind of hard. On Friday, there wasn't a lot of people here early in the morning, and so it was quiet. And it happened to be a dad and his little daughter. And, you know, I glanced down, and I'm probably going to say that the little girl was maybe like 6 or 7. And they were talking about what they were going to do for the day. And I realized that they were getting passes and they were going to PAX. And it was just the dad and the daughter. Mom never showed up. So it was a daddy day out, which I thought was just even more cute. But as I was listening, they were there because the little girl likes video games and her dad wanted to take her around to check out some DS titles. And I thought, oh my God, that's so awesome. Here's one of the things that I complain about most. Parents not getting involved with their kids in their gaming. And here's a parent involved with their kid at an early age, taking them to a gamer con. How great. They'll be able to keep them away from the content that they shouldn't be at and really be able to spend time with stuff that they should. So off and on the weekend, I saw them multiple times, you know, because they stood out to me. So anytime that I saw them walking through a corridor, I kind of, you know, smiled to myself and kept to myself because I didn't want to weird them out and be like, who the hell is that chick with the hair? But as I was walking around today, getting ready to actually record this podcast, I ran into them again on an escalator and it sounded like they were leaving. And, the little girl looks up at her dad and she asks him if they can come back next time because obviously she had a great time. And her dad said yes. And then a few seconds after that, she turns back around and she says, well, Daddy, when's the next time? And he says, oh, next year. And without missing a beat, the little girl stomps her foot on the escalator thing and says, that's too long, Daddy. And just looks at him and gives us this glare like, okay, well, you need to fix this because I need more of this right now. And I was like, this is great. Here is a new gamer, like, born. Because that is exactly how I feel. Like, I don't want PAX to end. I've had a great time. I know it needs to end because I need to sleep and stop drinking. But I don't want it to end. I love being immersed in the community and being able to, you know, be amongst my people. And to see that now growing and fostering in someone so young and guided by a parent, I think is probably the coolest fucking thing that I've seen at PAX. So just to recap, coming back from 5 to 1. The number 5 cool thing that I saw at PAX was Nero. Number 4 was Gears of War 2. Number 3 was cosplayers. Number 2 was Rock Band / Guitar Hero World Tour. And the number 1 thing that I saw at PAX was chicks. So it's been a long conference for me, people. I've got a couple more things to do here before I wrap it up and maybe go head to one of the free playrooms and just play a little bit before I head out of here. But it's been great. I want to give a shout out to Freeloader Megwin for tagging along with me yesterday and today, giving me a helping hand on getting some things done and needing some people and doing the all-important card swap. I want to also give a shout out to the All Games Radio Network fam for having me along and be part of their show. And I also got to give it up to the Destructoid crew for letting me run around and drink with them and, you know, buying me some alcohol because I enjoy free alcohol. Especially because out here, alcohol is not cheap, people. And I got to give it up to Platform Nation, whose live broadcast I'm probably crashing any moment now. So that's all the shout-outs. I want to advise you all, please, please, please continue to listen to our show, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi. You can check us out for all your gaming and geek needs, from anime to video games to stuff on portable systems. We've got it all, including peripherals. And I'm not going to have any toast because I still have more drinking to do, so as always, I'm Ninja Sista. This has been my top 5 coolest things I saw at PAX. Peace out, homies.